You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest are the Happy Hollows, myspace.com/thehappyhollows. We're going to start by playing a track from their brand new EP, and then we'll get into some interview and some live stuff, so stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Way that ends. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Happy Hollows. Hey guys.
Hey.
Thanks so much for coming in, and thanks for switching the time last minute. Appreciate that.
No problem. We allowed us to sleep later.
Right, right.
Which is the most important
thing. And warm up your voices and you know, get in the zone, do your meditation, your yoga, your Tai Chi. Why don't we start with introductions? Who are you and what do you bring to the Happy Hollows?
My name is Sarah Nagadari, and I bring some guitars and vocals.
I'm Charlie, and I play bass and bring sarcasm and
oh, do you?
Absurdity.
And there's a third member as well. Yes.
Oh, he's
not here with us today.
Oh, he's yeah. Just a drummer.
No, that's good. That's Chris. He's our drummer. He's a very important member of the Happy Hollows. Without him, we'd just kind of be a really average guitar and bassist.
Now, one of the things that's interesting about this band is there's not necessarily one voice that you associate with the Happy Hollows. I mean, there's male vocals, there's female vocals, there's different kinds of songs. Is there a front man to this project or a front woman, or is this a completely collaborative effort?
Yeah, I think I am the front person.
Sarah's the front person.
Do the songs generally start with your work and then the rest of the team collaborates?
Yeah, I like the main songwriter. So I sort of hear parts like for everybody. But then sometimes he writes too. So kind of.
Probably like 3/4 of the songs are Sarah's sort of written pieces.
People say it's like a backwards Pixies. Like he's the Kim Deal. I'm thinking. So sort of feeling,
right.
You know, where
that's
they had two main
like.
Singers.
I mean, so and I'll write like one out of every 5 songs.
Yeah.
And Sarah is more of a, she'll write a whole song, you know, like with all the parts, and I might rearrange it or add another part. But if I write a song, it's usually like some riffs, and then we kind of work it together in practice.
Mm-hmm.
And the lyrics are kind of split on all the songs between Sarah and I.
Did this project start, Sarah, with just, you know, girl and a guitar, and then you decide you want to build a band out of that?
Yeah, it started with me, and I called myself the Happy Hollows, and I imagined that there was a drummer and bassist behind me, just like rock.
So you're
out.
A solo artist with a pluralistic
name?
That's awesome.
And I'd like tell clubs, like, hey, my band, the Happy Hollows, like, yeah, we'll book you. And then I would like play after like a super like 5-piece band just by myself. But I'd be like pretending that there was all these instruments.
Is that how you came up with the name, the like hollow, like invisible band?
Yeah. Well, no, but I like that. I'll say yeah to
You'll
that.
You'll stick with that. That's the official answer. The other one's a secret.
You all know, right. Actually, Heather from Lo-Fi Sugar used to play. She doesn't have a keyboard, and there was like a drum tone on the keyboard, and she'd hit one note and be like, bo, 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 and she'd hit that the whole time. And then I'd play guitar.
Awesome.
So that was the Happy Hollows, the first year.
Wait, are you ready to jump into a live song? Would you like to try one out? I know
All
we
right.
have you performing solo for us today.
Okay.
What would you like to play for us first? And tell us what you're playing on as well.
I'm playing on my Gibson SG, brown color.
Oh, the brown one, yeah.
The brown
it's a good
one.
Sound.
The yeah. Sound.
All the, you know, it's the earth tones that make
yeah.
it work.
It's the brown.
The SG.
That makes it
this
sound
is my.
So good.
I love this thing like a person. Like, I'm in love with it.
Is that, that's not your first guitar, is it? Or is
no.
It one of your first guitars?
The first one was like a Squire.
Uh huh.
Of course. And then that broke on stage. Mm. This part where the cord plugs into fell out.
During
the
performance?
Guitar. Yeah.
Yikes.
Like, just fell out. So cheap. So I had to get something good.
Do you feel sort of out of place when you're playing a guitar that's not this one that you're so closely attached to? Like you said you had that personal relationship with your guitar,
mm-hmm.
So you don't like being away from it or having to play another guitar.
No, I don't. I don't. I really.
Cool.
Her name is Mabel.
Her name is Mabel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mabel, welcome to the show. Look forward to hearing her.
Thank you.
What are you gonna play for us first?
I think I'll play Monster Room, because I can do that one without. Too much other stuff. I'll do that one.
All right, cool. Whenever you're ready, my guest is the Happy Hollows.
Care. try to make the rules apply, but the lines to break, all the rules they make, wanna leave the world behind, join the magic side.
You're listening to Isgood on killradio.org, my guest for the Happy Hollows. I used to be scared of the monsters in my room, and now I like them. I like that line. That's you know, there's something about that whole song. It's kind of like, you know, loss of innocence and growth, and I don't know, I'm probably reading into it way too
no,
much.
You're
but
not.
No, did I get it?
Yeah.
Cool. Tell me about your writing process. What do you like to write about? Are you telling stories? Or are you talking about things that happened in your life, or using a lot of abstract metaphors? What do you like?
Well, I like all different subjects. And I think for me, songs come in like clusters, and they come in like themes, and like writing a book. Mm-hmm. And the album we're mixing right now, it was like inspired, I think, because I started doing tarot card reading at the mall.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's a crazy story, because I lied and said I was a professional tarot card reader because I just really needed money. But I'd only done it a few times before, but I ended up being really good at it.
Nice.
But I was doing tarot card reading, and I think it was like so many of the symbols, it's like it's all metaphors that you work with. And like when you see the symbol on the tarot card, there's like an energy current with it, and I feel it in the person. And it's like, you work with metaphor and you work with like archetypes, I guess. And so I was working with that.
Which is true in music too.
Yeah. And I think I started realizing like, wow, everything I keep riding stuff with these currents, these archetypal kind of currents. And I realized, I was like, oh, I think I'm writing an album about almost like, not tarot, but you know, with these big sort of archetypal messages and stuff. And so so that's what I've been doing all year. So this one, yeah, I think is like stuff like that. It's a little more of that kind of stuff. But we write about all sorts of stuff, you know. It's not strictly that. It's just happened to follow for me.
A lot of, not all of our songs, but a lot of the lyrics come after the music is written.
That's actually my next question, is which usually comes first.
We, almost 90% of the time, the music, not always, but most of the time. And then we'll listen to the tone of what we're playing and try and come up with an idea of what that that sound means, right? Mm-hmm. So, well, we jump all around. We have a lot of different topics. You know, like on the old CD, we had Vietnam, which was about sort of fear and war throughout the U.S. history. So we talk about, like, the Revolutionary War, Vietnam, World War II, Iraq.
That's the great thing about American history. You can always throw a war song on and have it be timely.
Yeah.
It's like totally, that's true. It's like, so it was like a repetitive theme. We had a song about writer's block, which is Troll. We had like kind of just a crazy song.
Because, yeah, I was having a writer's block, and then in my imagination, the trolls were stealing my pens. That's why I couldn't write. And then we wrote a song about it.
And then do you guys usually follow through each song to the end, or do you have a stack of unfinished songs somewhere?
We have a lot of... Oh, we God. Recorded...
I think every band probably does.
We have a lot of unrecorded... I mean, pieces of things, you know? But we just recorded 20 songs with a producer named Dave Newton, who works with... he's working with Death Anders, The Little Ones,
Henry
the Henry Clay
People.
So we did 20 songs with him, and it's being mixed right now. So that's at least a chunk of what we... wanted to get out of
the
way.
No, I just wrote a bunch more, too. I write a lot, too. And for me, it's like I feel pregnant, and then I give birth.
You have to get the songs out of you? Or
it's, like, crazy. Like, I literally will feel, like, a couple months will go by, and I'm like, oh, it's building up. Like, baby's growing. And it's, like, I feel this, like, feeling. Like, I have to get it out, and it's kind of uncomfortable. Like, I'm really not that happy unless I'm really writing.
And are they the tunes, or are they the lyrics, or
well,
is it a combination?
Then I'll take like a week off work. Usually I'll try to. I'm a waitress, so I get my shifts covered. And then for a week I lock myself in the room. I mean, I'm not kidding. And I don't leave the apartment, and they all come out at once, like giving birth.
Wow.
And so you're a psychic waitress, paranormal escape artist,
exactly.
Slash musician.
That's exactly what she is.
And so, yeah. And so for me, the lyrics, it does come with it. And for me, the songs, they just come all at once. Like, usually I don't take more than 3 to 5 hours to write the whole song. And if it doesn't come all at once, then I'll let the boys sort of hash it out or whatever. But for me, I'm...
That seems to be the best songs, are the ones that come out of you and you can't stop them until they're finished. It's not like one piece, and then you have to keep working on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you shouldn't bang your head against the wall too much. Let it be.
Is there like a Happy Hollows sound that you guys are aware of? Because, you know, I noticed listening to your music that it's, you know, it's not just one thing. You wouldn't just pin you as a punk band or this band or whatever band. Mm-hmm. But even within that, you always know it's the Happy Hollows. When you guys are working on a song, do you kind of keep that in check? Say, does this really sound like Happy Hollows? Or are we trying to do something else here?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
I think it's good that our sound goes a lot of places. And I mean, I like that. You know, I never, once in a while, someone will be like, oh, you guys are a little bit all over the map. But usually you complain about a band, all their songs sounding the same. And that's kind of the, you know, if all your songs sound the same, you're in trouble, you know? For us, it's a good thing we have songs where I sing, where Sarah sings, where we both sing, where we all scream, you know, sort of slower, like, hip-hop type beats, and then we have really fast, like, you know, fast songs, so...
Has that ever presented a challenge in terms of, you know, the corporate bigwigs who want to marginalize you into this, like, simple little category so they can book you?
Well, we'll see. We haven't had two. I mean, maybe.
I think with this album coming out... we'll see if that happens. But I think we have a sound that you should be able to hear. It's our band, even though it goes a lot of places. Mm-hmm. So that's all that we strive for.
Yeah. I think we do. I guess we do have a sound. I don't know how to explain it, though. I mean, maybe it's just like kind of silly, but not really. It's like something about it maybe makes you.
Yeah, you don't have to articulate it as long as you know it.
Yeah.
As long as you know what it is.
Yeah, I guess we do. Well, I first realized we had a sound when we were asked to do a Christmas cover the other night on Indie 1031.
Cool.
And I was like, okay, a Christmas cover. And then when we did the cover, I realized we have a sound, because when you do somebody else's song, and then you realize when it's run through your channel, and it comes out sounding like you, and I went, how neat. We have like a sound, you know?
Let's listen to another track from some music you brought in. What should we play?
Maybe
you guys choose.
No, play Bird of Prey.
That's cool. And this EP, is this available now, or does it just get pressed, or what?
Well, that was those are four of the songs of the 20 that we recorded, mm-hmm. And we put it out for our residency at the Echo, which was in September, so that we could sell some stuff and
get people excited about the upcoming album.
Pre-release. You know what? Some of the sounds that are going to be on it.
All right, cool. You're listening to The Happy Hollows on Is Good on killradio.org. Stick around. And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with the Happy Hollows, two-thirds of them anyway, and listening to some tracks from their EP and their forthcoming album. Is it going to be self-titled, the album? The EP is self-titled?
Oh, yeah, we don't have a name, and probably only one of those songs will be on the album, because we did 20, so we'll probably take 10, put it on the album.
Give it to all our friends, which ones they like the best, and then figure out what to put on.
Now, speaking of friends, I mean, you're one of those bands that's sort of, which is a growing trend in the indie scene now, sort of you've allied yourself with some other really cool bands and have supported each other's music. Tell me a little bit about your involvement in the Central Second Collective?
Well, I have known Nick from Debt to Anders. I knew since childhood, and when I moved out to LA, I didn't even know he lived out here. And then he's like, "Hey, I live here, and I'm starting a band." And so he did his Debt to Anders. I did the Happy Hollows, and we were just so like on the same page musically, and we just really clicked. And so Debt to Anders started playing this place called The Cocaine, and which is the converted sushi restaurant mm-hmm. in downtown. And
yeah, that place is cool.
Yeah, it was on Central and Second. And so we started playing there, and then we met this amazing band called The Transmissions, and then this amazing band called One Trick Pony. And then we all played shows together all the time and hung out together, and we just thought, let's make this a club or whatever, like call it something. And then so and we just all, it's like, we just think that they're the best bands like ever, you know. And so
with so many bands out there, I mean, it's if without that kind of sense of camaraderie and people supporting you, another musician supporting you, you can kind of feel you're falling in this sometimes, dark vortex of emptiness.
Oh my god,
you know?
Sometimes I just feel like I wouldn't be able to go on if it wasn't for them. I mean, really, like, it's like, oh man, just sharing new songs with each other. Mm-hmm. I think that's just so, it's just wonderful to have people that get you and that have seen your progress. You know, mm-hmm. they've been with me since the very beginning, especially Nick. Like when I used to play just, you know, folk music in mm-hmm. high school, Nick was there, you know, so it's just amazing. I'm so blessed for the Central Second Collective. But yeah, I think it's important for bands to do that, especially in a big city. So yeah. It's so, can be so lonely, you know? Just yeah. all these other bands, everybody's so competitive, and it's hard, you know, now, so when you have that.
Now, speaking of progress, I mean, you guys have seen a recent surge in your fan base, it seems, mm-hmm. which is exciting. I know you guys recently played the Wiltern, which is a huge stage. That must have been
far
fantastic.
That was wonderful. We were really lucky to have Silver Sun Pickups ask us to open for them at the Fillmore and the Wiltern. So, we said yes, of course.
Did that just come out of nowhere? I mean,
Well, they saw us play a show like a year ago.
Silver Lake Lounge.
At the Silver Lake Lounge. They just came out one night, like, because they were taking a break from either touring or finishing their album. And they saw us play, and we met them there. And then I guess something they saw, so they just asked us to open for them. So that was really nice of them.
Nice.
Support the local scene.
They are my angels. they absolutely are. I'm in love with that band. They're just amazing people. And oh my gosh. And it's scary because when I first moved to LA, they were the first band I saw.
Oh really?
Yeah. It was really weird. And I thought, oh, they're great. And I talked to them. They're so nice. And I sort of became this like funny little fan that would just come and was so shy and I'd come watch them. And then I bought Pykele and listened to it all the time. And I used to have this saying in my head. I can't believe I'm saying this. But as a band in the city, I would say to myself, like, what would SSPU do? Like, instead of like, what would Jesus do? Be like, what would SSPU do? And I would like, I'm like, they would start a collective, you know? Like how they had.
Yeah.
They would play they would like support other bands.
Right.
And
well,
I sort of looked at them.
For them. Yeah.
I sort of looked at them as like a role model. I liked how supportive of other bands they were.
Mm-hmm.
I would see like other band CDs at their shows, and they were just really like in a community, it seemed. And I liked that. I didn't want to be like alone, you know, especially because I didn't grow up here. And so I sort of like looked at them as like, oh, they seem like really together people and just sort of doing their thing. And it was just bizarre, like of all the bands in the world that would end up coming to see my band and like totally like supporting us beyond anything we could imagine. It's them. I mean, it's just weird.
I'm
like,
sure
they
it was laid out in the tarot cards.
I know. It's freaky. It's really freaky, you know?
Well,
it's really weird.
Are you up for another live song?
Yeah, I'm going to play a quiet one. This is a last song on our Bunnies and Bombs EP. It's a little different than everything else, but I'll just play it because I'm in the mood. In wintertime, I get very quiet. I love writing more quiet stuff. And most of it doesn't make it to the Happy Hollows, but maybe someday we'll have a
It's seasonal quiet. Affective musician's
it is.
Disorder.
It's just like, I just can't.
All right. Whenever you're ready.
That's not awful.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is the Happy Hollows.
Okay. Okay. Can you play a song on C? I'm going to grab the other guitar real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to tune up a little bit. What should we play? Just throw something on from...
like Vietnam or something.
Yeah, let's do Vietnam.
And meteors or whatever.
All right, hang in there, guys. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. We'll be right back with some more live Happy Hollows.
I'm sorry. That just sounded so...
We're back on Is Good on killradio.org with the Happy Hollows, and we're going to jump right into a live song. We'll get this going. What's this song called?
It's called Tell Me.
All right, whenever you're ready, Sarah.
Tell me what you want, I will always stay home for so long, just like yesterday. If you get drunk, you can always sleep over on the couch, it will be okay with everybody. I know the sundown will always shine right before the line, you'll catch it in time. Whoever hurts you will come back crying, come back wishing you luck in your desire with everybody. With everybody. You love him so right that you could follow him for the rest of your life. He is like the sunrise. You've got to follow him to the edge of the world. The world, the world, the world, the world, the world. Tell me what you want. what you want, I will always stay around for so long, just like yesterday.
Wow, that was gorgeous. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Happy Hollows. Sarah, what came for you first, playing guitar or singing?
I've always written musicals.
Like when you were a kid?
Yes. I mean, seriously, since I can remember. So, me singing and then guitar came later.
And
like
then
guitar feels like more important to me.
Now?
Yeah. It feels like more an instrument of choice.
And what made you want to pick up the guitar? How'd you get the idea in your head? Was it just the influence of the bands you were into at the time? Or?
Well, the way I was singing, I always felt like I needed something like woodsy to fit the voice. I can't explain it because like when I was little, I used to make up musicals with the neighborhood kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then my mom was like, well, we got to put you in like piano lessons or something because I was trying to figure out how to create songs. And so, but the piano just didn't sound right with my voice. Like it was too clean and beautiful sounding and my voice needed like a woodsy sound. And so when my mom got me a guitar, it just felt like right at home for my voice, you mm-hmm. know, like the blend was there.
It seems like be the number one cause of guitar playing is piano lessons.
Yeah. Oh
my God, is it true?
Yeah. Cause like when I was in piano, is it working? Yeah. My mom put me piano and, it was like first grade. And I remember I was so frustrated because I didn't like that everything had to be ding, 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 ding. And I just bang. I would take all the songs home and bang them out.
Uh-huh.
And I'd make different ways to play them. With you ding, 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 bang with all the fingers, you know?
Like Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah. I wanted that. And I would just rock out. And I would have concerts for my stuffed animals. I'd have big concerts every night in my imagination. Like, and be like Jerry Lee Lewis.
Nice.
So. But it didn't. I remember my piano teacher was this evil woman. She just didn't like what I was doing. And it was just miserable. Yeah, not for me.
Tell me a little bit more about piecing the band together, finding people to play with.
Well, Chris and I had moved from Washington, D.C. here about 3 years ago. But we didn't move together. We just happened to both move from D.C. here. And I had gone to high school with him. And then we met each other randomly in LA, and then we decided to like start a band and found Sarah on Craigslist of all places, because we weren't really in the, you know, we didn't know the musicians here, and mm-hmm. we were just kind of figuring out the music scene. And we met Sarah and practiced with her once, and she was already playing shows at places, you know, in Silver Lake. And so we were like, whoa, this girl's got her act together. And so that's how we started.
And you had played in other bands before this, I assume.
Yeah, I played in Chris and I in high school played in the same band, but not at the same time. In this band, like, you know, it was at the time was kind of doing well in DC for, you know, high school kids. We got played on the radio, and then I played in like an indie rock band in DC before I moved out here. And Chris, we recorded at Inner Ear Studios, which is like the Discord label studios. Even we weren't on Discord, but we recorded where they did because we wanted to sound like them. And Chris was in a band too, which actually played at a lot of big clubs in DC.
Is there anything that you do in the Happy Hollows that's different than what you did before? Like, is there a different way of playing or something
everything.
That you need to do
everything.
To bring out Sarah's voice or Sarah's writing or?
I think Chris and I. We just all gotten a lot better as musicians in the past mm-hmm. 3 years. Like, no, we have 2 years.
A hell of a lot better.
We just, you know, a lot of practicing. And we've just been trying to, like, consciously. We write songs to do something different, to do something weird, to challenge ourselves in the parts we play. If something comes, I mean, if the song comes easily, that's great. But when you're laying it down and trying to, you know, turn it from the chords and the, you know, the melody into a full-fledged song, we really try and make the parts sort of distinct and different and challenge ourselves technically.
Is that important for the Happy Hollows in general? Just sort of not being redundant, not doing the same thing and not being boring.
Yeah. I think like just with this album, like when I started writing it a year, like last August, I just was like, I wanted to like just push them and push myself, just like musically with the instrument. And I just wanted to like freak them out a little bit. And so I secretly like wrote all these super like complicated songs. And like for the first year we were together, it was all like Bunnies and Bombs. Every song is about 2 minutes long, and it's just power chords. It's just fun. But like I was like, I'm just gonna like secretly like get fucking like. Am I not allowed to swear?
No, it's totally cool.
Oh, really?
It's internet radio.
Oh, yeah. My heart almost went into my. I was like, oh my god. Okay.
Oh, check it out. Fuck.
Awesome.
It's great.
Right. So fun. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh my god. Anyway, yeah. Like I just was like I play guitar for like hours every day, and I just wrote these like crazy songs, and then came into rehearsal one day out of the blue. I was like, I wrote another song, guys. Ready to learn? Like, yeah.
But we're going to need to hire a sitar player and a bagpipe.
It's crazy.
Sarah started doing this like tapping stuff on her guitar. You know, like not like Eddie Van Halen, but that kind of thing. In a really
But like tapping your fingers on the outside of the strings, you mean? Or on panel?
Like guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And And it was weird. She came in and she was already really good at it. And
To be good at it.
She had been practicing.
I really wanted to freak them out. Like literally, I thought it'd be so funny. Like I got this idea like last summer, and I just thought it would be so hilarious if like all they knew about me was playing power chords, but I secretly was like tapping all over the guitar and all this stuff and doing all this crazy stuff. But I didn't want to come in with like it half baked, you know.
Right.
I wanted to come in with the full fledged. Hey guys, I wrote a song, and just see their reaction.
And did you feel like she sort of raised the bar? Like,
yeah,
oh,
definitely.
I
think Chris and I,
they were
when
shocked.
We started off, Chris was the best like musician, and I was in the middle, and Sarah was good, but like. We had been playing in bands longer than her. Like she had been playing with Heather, but not in like, you know, a band with, so we were a little more experienced than her, but now she is like, she's better than Chris and I, like both.
Oh no.
I think so. Like she practices like, you know, like 5 hours a day. And like, so now she's the last song that she wrote would like, it took Chris and I like probably like a week and a half or 2 weeks to figure out our parts and everything. It was so nuts, you know.
Like, how did she do this?
Yeah, and also it was like for 2 months she every song that she brought in she was like tapping, and we were like, what are you doing? I was getting like kind of little. I was like, we can't be like, you know, we're not going to turn into like a prog, like, you know, new metal like
band. Yeah, I
didn't
want to do that, but I wanted to. I don't know. I just wanted to. I saw like Khaki King, and I just thought. I don't know. I want to like spice it up a bit on the guitar. I liked how she's doing all this weird stuff on the all over the place. And so that, so the new album is going to have a lot of like just kind of like weirder stuff. But
cool.
It's fun, you know? You'll like it.
Let's listen to another track from some music you brought in. What should we play?
Colors.
Yeah.
All right, cool. And can people get this now? I know you have it at your shows, but can
at
they go
shows,
to your website?
But it's,
or?
No, it's quickly selling. I think
we
might
think
have like 25 copies left. We printed 500. We printed 500, and I think there's 25 left maybe at our shows. But hopefully we'll have the album out soon.
All right, well, here you go. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is the Happy Hollows.
Thank you.
We're back on Is Good on killradio.org. The Happy Hollows are my guests. myspace.com/thehappyhollows, and I guess thehappyhollows.com as well.
Yeah, we don't update the website as much though.
So the MySpace is the place to go,
yeah,
to get the latest.
It's the place
info.
To be.
Cool.
It's the place.
Let's talk a little bit about playing live. First I want to hear about Sarah, like your experience just as a solo artist going up there for the first time and like, hi, I'm the Happy Hollows. Was that a nerve-wracking thing or did you feel prepared? Or what kind of atmosphere was it? Was it a cafe or?
Well, I started playing like more like folk stuff when I was in high school. And then I moved to New York and kept playing folk stuff. And then when I moved here, I wanted to play, get like a band. And so, yeah, when I went up, it was kind of different, but it felt like, yeah, because it felt like I always wanted to really be in my body when I was sitting down playing folk stuff. Like I wanted to just like rock, like be in my body, like stand up and really get into it. And so it felt wonderful, it felt liberating.
And then having the band really brought it
all together. And then having
the
band is just, I just love. Oh, it's ecstatic. It's just very nerve wracking. I get very nervous. And
you get nervous before shows?
Terribly nervous. Like it's just really awful. And every time before a show I say to myself, I can't do this again. I can't do this life. I can't do get on stage. And then I do it and then it's like, yay!
This is what I'm in it for.
Yeah, so yeah. It's like this weird and I just
Well, what makes for a good show for you guys? Aside from, you know, everything technically working right, how do you know when the Happy Hollows have done a good show? Do you base it on your performance or base it on the audience reaction?
It's just this weird magic. It's like sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. And I think it's the audience, it's the night, it's the vibe, it's the club. It's just this funny thing. It's like, right?
Yeah, we have kind of like chaotic like live show. I mean, not to say it's messy, but it's like it's really like sort of spontaneous, you know? And so it's like trying to light a match and you know, it whatever happens happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think that makes it fun to kind of watch, you know, because it's not there's no choreography, there's nothing sort of pre-planned. I mean, we plan the songs, but where we're going to move, like what's going to happen. The last show, like Sarah, like happened, like she was really into a song and she threw her tambourine and we're at Spaceland and it hit the ceiling and then hit my keyboard and broke my like, two keys on my keyboard.
Oh, no.
And then hit me in the head.
Oh,
and
no.
I didn't know what had happened. I was like, did someone throw something at me? Like a fan, like someone
like
in
a
the
fan,
audience.
A crazy
I was like,
fan,
is that a tomato?
Like a head of cabbage.
Yeah, right. I was like, is this really that bad? And then I realized it is the tambourine. So, you know, it's just, it's kind of like a,
occupational hazard, I guess.
Yeah, but that's the kind of, you know, we want our show to be, have that kind of like raw, chaotic sort of feeling.
Yeah, and I just want to go, like go into the state where like I'm not aware that I'm up there or aware of the audience. Mm-hmm. Like, and that takes almost like, it's just a special thing that happens. Like when there's that support from the audience or like even that silence, I think for me, it's like when the audience doesn't know who we are or something and they sort of just, it's like.
But you have their attention.
Yeah. It's like, then they can give us the attention or when I can just feel safe enough to go into that other state. I think that for me, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just like when it's like sex for people, like it's like a real high for them.
For people who have that.
For people who do that sort of thing. Yeah. It's like, I think that's why sex is so great for people, because you momentarily like get so in the moment.
Yeah, you lose yourself.
You lose yourself. Yeah. And so what's funny is that it's the same with music.
Sure.
Or any form of something somebody loves to do, you lose yourself because you're so in the moment. And that's what I would say is always the goal. And it's, you know, it's just such a purging for me. It's just so, like, healthy, you know. It's like sex.
Is it easier to have this sex in different kinds of venues? To use the terminology, like, do you prefer? I'm kidding. First, do you prefer playing in, let's say, like an intimate cafe environment as opposed to the Wiltern, or do you like big arena
sex? I like
sex?
All of the sex.
You like it all.
All the sex, and then you know, I just think there was no difference really for me. The Wiltern.
Really?
Honestly, I was just like, how weird. It's like, great. But at the same time, it was like, all that I could see was those few teenagers right in the front, you know? And it was like, there's that wheel, you know? And I'm giving to them and they're giving back. And I could have had the same magic in a coffee shop, you know? It's kind of all the same, but I have to say, I really need everything to work. Because it really takes me out of my mojo when stuff doesn't work on the club's end. When, like, you know, when, like, things just aren't working. And it's like, oh, God, there's just not that foundation.
And it's always a little bit different at every club, too. Like, different sound engineers have their talents.
I kind of am prissy. I like nice places because I like to mess up things that are nice. And when it's already messy.
It's no fun
like,
if it's already messed up.
Yeah, so it's like that feeling.
Cool. Well, can I draw one more live song out of you?
Yeah.
What are you going to play?
Well, I'm just going to play a really random cover.
Awesome.
And you can just guess what it is at the end. It's really totally random of me to do this cover of this song.
Whenever you're ready.
Places we go, all that we've done for. We live in a beautiful world. Yeah, we do, yeah, we do. We live in a beautiful world. We live in a beautiful world.
Wow. That's all I can say about that. That was really cool. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guests are the Happy Hollows. Do you guys have any shows coming up?
Yeah, we actually should have. Thanks for reminding us. We have a show tomorrow. We're playing a benefit for Doctors Without Borders at the Crash Mansion downtown LA. It's called the Sweater Festival.
We're playing with bands like the Meishi, Pity Party, Eskimo Hunter, and the band that set this all up, the Deadly Syndrome. And all five bands will be rotating, playing 15-minute sets twice throughout the night.
Oh, that's a great idea.
We'll see how it works.
I mean, it's a great idea for someone who's not performing. I'm just throwing that out there.
It raises the potential for technical difficulty.
Yeah, sure it does.
Yeah, so we'll
5,000%.
But they're indie. It'll work. They're indie. I mean, I'm assuming it's like in the indie rock room at Crash Mansion, which I just saw recently.
I think it's the big room.
Oh, is it the big room?
Yeah.
Okay, because their indie rock room is really cool. They have this nice little stage.
Yeah, we've never been.
Really?
Tell us more. What is that?
It's just nice. It's such a nice little stage, and the bar is right there, and you can actually be at the bar and in front of the band at the same time, because a lot of venues, you can tell that they weren't really designed for live music. They were designed to be bars, and they had a couple of extra square feet to throw music
into.
Or
Japanese restaurants.
Japanese restaurants, yeah. But then there's some that are clearly designed so that everybody can be at the bar and still pay attention to the music.
That's
so
fun.
Yeah, but if you're in the big room, cool.
We're playing at the Indie 1031 show at the Viper Room this Monday, and if you email us, you get in for free on the guest list.
And sort of having this, you know, having had the experience of, you know, struggling to collect your fans and build your fan base, and then having this sudden surge in appreciation for your music, does it give you pause? What does it make you think of, you know, in terms of the future of the Happy Hollows?
Well, it's been great. I mean, to have some, like, more people at our shows and to get good responses and, like, the press and the blogs has been really cool. But, you know, we've worked really hard because we started off like playing little places on the West Side for, you know, nobody, because we didn't know anyone, you know, in the scene, like in the indie scene in Los Angeles. We just kind of like jumped in. But we really want, you know, we want to do more as well. We want to go on tours, you know, we want to tour the country, and, you know, be able to record more. So we're really happy where we are, but we're still fighting to, do better.
Yeah.
To write, and artistically to challenge ourselves, you know. That's really, if you're happy with your music and what you're doing artistically and you're doing it for yourself, then a lot of other things can fall into place.
Yeah. It's really different for us to have, like, normal people liking our music, like, just people that aren't musicians.
Uh-huh.
Because I think any band feels this way. It's like for the first while, it's just other. Well, for us, it was like every time we played, it was like band meeting in the audience or something.
Right.
It was just like every single person in the audience was in a band.
Right.
For like the first year or two. And it was just funny. And we were kind of.
And now people it's people that you don't know how they heard of you.
You're like a secretary and you're a high school student. You're normal. It's just it kind of blows my mind. I'm like, wow, your normal person is here and they're so nice, and it's kind of a thrill.
What about your audience? Do you sort of imagine them listening to Happy Hollow CDs in the car, or do you see them at your shows? I mean, are you guys more of a live act or a recording artist, or can you separate those two things?
Well, for a long time it was like, please come to our live show. Don't judge us off our CD. Please come. And now with our new stuff, it's like, oh gosh, how do we bring all those sounds live? And now it's really changed. So I think it's going to be interesting to see when people hear the new stuff and then they get used to it a certain way with like the two guitars, but then live there's only one. So now it's going to be like, please listen to the CD. No,
so you get the full sound. Yeah.
So it's kind of, so I guess it's both. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, our music is a lot of it's faster, so it's good driving music.
I want people to dance and move to. I mean, not dance like at a disco club, but I just imagine people like kind of like shaking and kind of like walking and working out maybe or whatever.
Well, you want to know that you moved your audience somehow. Then
yeah, it's not sort of like early morning cup of coffee music. it's not a
wake up, turn on the coffee machine,
bachelor pad,
right?
You know, it's intense. We're kind of intense when we play in our CD. So hopefully it'll, wake people up.
Yeah, well, you want to jar your audience.
Wake them out of their stupor.
Just like Sarah wants to jar the band when she comes in with some new way of playing guitar and some new idea for a song. Yeah. Awesome. Well, guys, thanks so much for coming
in and being a part of this. Thanks for having us.
Let's, the radio.
Let's sign off with another song. What should we play?
Oh, I guess Monster Room.
Yeah.
Cool.
The studio version.
The studio version. All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This will be available for download later today from myspace.com/thisisgood and isgoodmusic.com, as well as podcasts on iTunes. And for more information on this artist, check out myspace.com/thisisgood. The Happy Hollows.